Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited. Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you. And that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we've got a jam-packed show for you today. We'll close the show talking about the World Series. It moves to Game 7, and the drama from Game 6 should make tonight's game an unbelievable contest. Isn't it incredible that a home team has yet to win a game in this series? We'll talk to Mike about that. I want to focus on body language today, at least Mitch Trubisky's body language, because that's what he was doing for the last day or so, studying his body language, and he wants to make corrections. Seems to me he should be focused on something else, but we'll find out from Mike if I'm right or wrong. And then there's Baker Mayfield. We've got audio of him throwing a hissy fit and then walking out of the interview. Was that good or bad? We'll get Mike's take. Bill Belichick won his 300th NFL game on Sunday. Does that make him the greatest NFL coach of all time? And it's Wednesday. That means Mike has three free picks for you. We've got all that and more. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, Aldo, you're sounding in full voice today, man. You're sounding in full voice. I'm doing great. We're doing great at Vegas Scores and Odds. Welcome to the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. Make sure you follow at VSAO. We have 640 now. We started at 485 about a month and a half ago. We're moving the chains a little bit there. We're going to get to 700 soon. We're getting more followers. This site basically is doing well. You want to talk about a guy. And, you know, I gotta first say that I got a tweet from a guy saying, you know, your weekly packages, your monthly packages are higher than, for instance, Dennis Macklin, who's having a better week than you. Well, that's going to happen. And Dennis is doing great. He's 14-6 for the last 7 days, while I'm 15-12. But the reason my package weekly and monthly costs more is because I've been winning since 2011, because I've won on all different platforms. I don't control the prices. What happens is my guys at Vegas Scores and Odds see how great I've been doing over the years. I came from nowhere to be the top guy. Now to the point where I'm doing the commercials, Aldo and I, for Westwood One, for Premier, for ESPN. So you know what? That's why. And in the last 7 days, 8-2 in the National Football League. I was number one. Hockey, 51-31. Where I fallen short, I was kicking butt, was baseball. I was like 17-6 in the last 30 days, and now I'm 13-9 because guess what? Like Eldo just said, you cannot, okay, pick games and expect the road team to win every week and be successful. That's just the bottom line. So the last couple games I've lost in baseball, but everything else is going great, folks. And Eldo, last week on our show, I go 3-0. We're 14-10 right now overall. The odds couple, I go 2-2, 16-11. Carmen goes 1-1. He's 9-7. But Carmen has, along with some of the guys from ESPN 1000, Randy Merkin, I think Adam Abdallah, some of the other guys, they got they went in together on a deal. They got the Washington Nationals at 25-1 to win tonight. If they win it, they win 20. They're 25-1. They each put in like 25 wow. bucks. There was like 6-7 guys there. So they need Scherzer tonight against Houston. They thought they were going to win it when they were 2-0. Then they thought they were going to probably lose it when they were 3-2. Now they're 3-3. So they got game 7 tonight. So I got to give them, we got to give them a good big root for it. And also, Aldo, I want to say this on behalf of everybody at Bears Barroom, at Vegas Scores and Odds, at AM 1000, who all love you. I love your wife, Donna. You are, you're my buddy. You're my pal. I stand by you all the time. You stand by me. And especially when things aren't going well, and I understand if you can just give us a brief update. I understand your mother-in-law is not doing real well right now. She's been sick for about a year, I guess, and she was doing really well before that, but maybe you could fill us in a little bit real quick.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. My mother-in-law, Rosemary Scherer, is one tough woman. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, a very aggressive form of it, and it is now spread to her spine. And they're moving her to a hospice. She has somewhere between 24 hours, 72 hours that they're giving her. And because we expected this to come, it makes mm-hmm. it a little easier. But nonetheless, of course, it's heartbreaking, particularly a woman who has so much spirit and energy, and to see this horrible disease just deteriorate her body and bring her down so quickly. It's very, very sad. But the family is holding tight together, and there's a vigil holding on. So as soon as we're done here, I'll be heading back over there and praying for, you know, a peaceful and comfortable conclusion to her wonderful life.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, she's had a fantastic run. You never say it's over till it's over, but right. If what you're saying is true, here, everybody here, my wife, Bebe, myself, everybody at Bears Barroom, everybody that knows you, knows what kind of guy you are, know how devoted you are, not only to your mother, but Donna's mother. So we wish her nothing but the best, and our prayers are with her, buddy, okay?
Thank you very much. That really means a lot to me and Donna.
Well,
thank you.
I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, you just feel bad. I know that I lost my father when he was a lot younger and he had a stroke. And even though you know that it's coming, mm-hmm. it's when it happens, it's not an easy thing. So our prayers are with you guys. And I'll tell you what, it's a tough transition, but that's what we got to do. And you know what? It's a transition that I think she sort of enjoyed the show, too. I know your mom enjoys the show.
Yeah.
So we'll try our best to entertain today. And I'll tell you what, we've been doing great. It's been crazy this week. The baseball's been nuts. Monday night was great. What a way to end the week. I had Miami plus 14. They lose by 13. And the under, I win that by 2. So it was a good – Monday's been strong, folks. That's the last day of accountability. I just put out my Wednesday – Accountability Wednesday. Sometimes it's on Tuesday. I've been very, very busy charting the picks. We got some picks up tonight, so make sure you check it out. So, Aldo, we're ready to go.
You are one of the busiest guys in all of show business, and you're retired, Mike.
I'm retired. I went at breakfast with my buddy today. He's retired. He goes, how's retirement? I go, good. I got to make my picks for Vegas Scores Nuts, and then I got a show with Aldo Gandhi at 3 o'clock. But I'm happy for my retirement. I love it. It's great. It's sports. It's not like you're working a desk job. It's not like, you know, you're
exactly.
doing, you know, me and you have worked jobs that, you know, we prefer not to even talk about when we were younger and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
So it is sort of like retiring. You get to pick and choose. Bears Barroom, Vegas Scores and Odds, the Odds Couple. I mean, if you're talking about three platforms, it's a dream come true if you're a game picker.
Yeah, it surely is. Surely is. All right, let's talking about adversity. The Chicago Bears are going through their own adversity, and Matt Nagy, he met the media today, and Matt, as he says, is a glass half full, always looking at the positive things. And so this is what he said at the press conference, and I want to talk about it at the other end.
Somewhere, this is going to make us better. And I just don't know when it's going to come. And I believe that the players coming up to me and telling me, Coach, we got this. We feel good, man. We're good. We're good. I love that. And that keeps me going.
Mike, does that inspire you?
No, it's very mundane. Coach, we're going to win. No, and you know, we're going to get better and better. We were Super Bowl contenders.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to be Super Bowl contenders. All of a sudden, this guy sounds like he's taking over for Pat Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons. And that, you know, I got to bring this team back to where we were before I got here. No, you were 12-4 last year. But like I explained to everybody, seven teams from the previous year don't make it. Don't make it the next year in the playoffs. Guess who one of those teams is going to be? It's going to be the Bears. But this little, you know, Jimmy and Johnny told me we're going to be fine. And Tommy and Billy. All the players said we're going to be fine. We're looking forward to more. Coach, we got this. How do you got this? You're in last place. As reality hasn't set in. I think they're in a state of shock at Halas Hall right now, to be honest with you.
And the thing that bugs me about Matt Nagy, and I still haven't lost faith in his coaching abilities, but I just wish he was a little tougher on the players. You know, and it sounds like he wants to be so buddy-buddy with them. Now, right. He has said at the press conference.
My guy said, they got us, Coach. He's an assistant. He's back to being an assistant,
exactly.
An offensive coordinator.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you and I come from the school of Mike Ditka, you know, who would kick butt. You know, you remember when Mike Ditka cleared out the locker room of Ricky Watts and told him to get the hell out of the team, you know, and sometimes you just.
I remember when he told me at Ditka's on Cumberland to get the hell out of here one time. Hey, believe me, Mike Ditka tells you to get the hell out. You're getting the hell out.
You go.
But you know what's funny, Alts? You're right about that. This is nonsensical. Ask me three questions, okay? And mm-hmm. I'll act like a head coach, okay? Because here's what we didn't see. Here's what we didn't see last year.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Nagy under siege.
Yes.
How would he react?
Yes.
How does he respond?
Mm-hmm.
So ask me a couple questions.
Sure. What do you think about your quarterback's problems inside the red zone?
Well, he's got to get it done. Maybe it's been my fault a little bit, but we're going to be working on that, but we're not happy. I mean, we're under 500 right now. That wasn't expected. I'm not happy with my performance. I'm surely not happy with the team's performance. These guys are put in a position to win, and we're not doing it.
Bingo! Question
that's
number. Yeah, that's exactly. You know, Kevin in the chat room says you do accountability Tuesday, and Kevin says accountability Nagy.
No.
That is great.
Yeah, Kevin's right about that. Give me one more question.
Sure. So, can you evaluate the play of your offensive line for us?
They played better last week. I don't know if I put them in a great position the week before by only running the ball seven times. It's really hard to pass protect for a guy that's going to throw the ball 45 to 50 times. You're constantly backpedaling. That one's on me. I thought last week the offensive line improved. I don't think the offensive line was the problem. We ran the ball great. Mitch threw the ball at the end of the game, especially with more authority. So I'm encouraged by the offensive line, while some other parts of our team need more addressing.
And, Coach, one last question. Can you tell us what has happened with the defense? And in particularly, we haven't seen Khalil Mack make the big plays that we're accustomed to seeing from him.
Well, they're going to try to adjust, get away from Khalil. That's what they're trying to do. At points, he's going to be double-teamed, sometimes triple-teamed. But I'm not going to blame just him. I mean, we've lost Akeem Hicks. That's a huge guy up the middle. We need better performances out of our linebackers and better performances out of our secondary. Otherwise, we're going to have more of the same. They know that. They came up to me. They believe in themselves. So, you know what? We'll see how much that belief holds over when we play this week.
Mike, I've told you this before. You know, you know how presidents have press secretaries that go out and handle questions?
Right.
You should be the press secretary for the Chicago Bears.
It's never really gone well, press conferences, whether it's Ditka, Wawawani, how we're going to be better, Dick Juron, who was so quiet, he was like a church mouse. But I know how to answer questions, generic questions asked by the press.
Right.
You can ask me about baseball. Mm-hmm. You can ask me, and I'll act like a baseball manager. Mm-hmm. I'll act like a football manager. I'll put on a better show than Grandpa Rossi did the other day up at that table. Ask me about taking over for the Cubs.
So tell me about what your feelings are taking over this club and then starting in 2020 and into the future.
Well, we've had some injury problems. Our guys haven't been completely healthy. Joe laid the groundwork. I mean, we'll never forget what Joe Maddon has done. I mean, winning the World Series, we have big shoes to fill here. I think the players have to be a little bit more accountable. I'm going to try to play the players at set positions. I'm also going to try to keep a set lineup, something different than Joe did. But I will never ever forget what Joe Maddon's done to try to lay the groundwork where we can be more successful. I'm hoping for a good next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
I love it.
I mean, it's not hard. You could do this for every sport, and believe me, Nagy can't.
Right.
Ditka was great at press conferences,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ditka would just enliven the room, okay?
Yeah.
There's other guys like Jim Mora, other guys that can liven press conferences up. This guy here, he basically sounds like an offensive coordinator, an assistant. He's lost his aura from last year. We know that. And teams looked during the offseason. People were fuming from Club Dub. When you're a team that's going to play the Chicago Bears, and you saw the way that they acted arrogantly, not only last year with Club Dub, but this year we're not going to play most of our starters, especially our quarterback, because we're above it all. I think that makes teams take a shot at you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, at today's press conference, Mitch Trubisky talked about what were some of the things that he's done over the last mm-hmm. couple of days. And I can't find my sound here, so I'll paraphrase what he said.
Okay.
He said, I actually not only looked at the All-22 film and the coaches' film and so forth, but I went back and looked at the broadcast film to see my body language. And so he was asked, what did you learn? He goes, well, I was not as enthusiastic. I looked tense. And so that's not a good way to lead. And so I'm going to work on that for the next game. So I ask you, Mike, what's going on here?
He wants to work not to appear tense, even though he'll be tense.
Yes, exactly.
In other words, I looked at him last week. He's right. He's right.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at body language means so much, whether it's shaking a hand with somebody, I shook hands with the guy. I go, this guy's a monster. He's going to be something else. He shook hands with me. I hardly felt his hand. It was like, you know, a frail person shaking your hand. You know, I look at our quarterback. His eyes were down a lot. He seemed not confident.
Right.
That will happen again. If he throws an interception, what's he going to do? Run off the field and go, yeah, I got better body language. No. You walk away and you're very sad. You're not thinking about your body language. You are the real you when you make a mistake, just like you're the real you when you throw a touchdown and you run to the end zone to do the little dance with your teammates. So it's no doubt in my mind he's going to work on it, but if he throws an interception and it goes back for a touchdown, 70 yards, what's he going to do? Hop up and down, go, I'll get better? Yeah, no, you got to be yourself. And him saying that means he's not going to be himself. He's trying to fool the public no matter what type of situation it is.
That's my biggest problem, maybe one of my biggest problems, let's say, with Mitch Trubisky is that he has to learn how to lead. When Deshaun Watson, he's played in national championship games, and that just comes naturally to him to lead. When Patrick Mahomes, he just exudes confidence. He throws the ball into 14 guys guarding the receiver. He fires it in there. Mitch Trubisky needs to be coddled. They need to give him books on leadership and so forth. What I would like to do is just go to Mitch and say, here's a couple shots of whiskey and here's a good slap in the face. Now go out there and play football.
That would be a date for me back in the day. Bang, bang, here's a shot, now go home. You know what I mean? No, seriously. It to me, it's so funny that Mitch Trubisky, oh no, I wasn't doing the slapping was going the other way. Mitch Trubisky only started 13 games. I tried to explain that Watson started 40 to 13. Then here's what happened to Mitch. If Mitch would have been taken in order, like, in other words, let's say Mahomes or Watson would have been taken first, then the next guy second as quarterbacks, and then Mitch is taken 16th or 17th, mm-hmm. then you could understand it. But what has killed Mitch Trubisky is Ryan Pace. By Ryan Pace moving up, that made everybody think that whatever we were getting was going to be better than Watson. And I knew personally, you know this, you've been with me for 2 years now, I've been a Watson guy from the beginning. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I would not trade Watson for Mahomes. I'd keep Watson the way it is. I trust my judgment. Mahomes, of course, is lights out last year. This year's a little bit different. He has had some injuries. I think he's still going to have injuries down the line. He's also had a more difficult time. I mean, they had trouble scoring before. So I would stay with my guy, Watson. I would have taken Watson if I was the GM of the Bears, but I guess I'm just not smart enough. My bottom line is Ryan Pace, what he did to move up, put extra pressure on our quarterback.
Zach Sullivan in the chat room says that he actually thinks that's a good idea to have some of the players play drunk.
Haven't they been? I mean, my God. Eddie Jackson has to play better. The Rokon Smith thing started the wheels falling off. Nobody's even talking about that anymore.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who told Nagy, I got personal problems. Mm-hmm. And then people ask Nagy about it. Go ask him. Nagy is not a head coach, doesn't have head coach timber. Mm-hmm. He's a head coach in name right now. He's not a head coach as far as influence in the locker room, players-only meetings, telling him to get lost. This is all bad compared to last year when it was all good. It's like last year there wasn't a cloud in the sky. This year, there's rain, it's sideways with sleet and dark clouds.
The slash of the wind the NFL Films guy. I can hear him now. All right, so I know everybody knows that you are a huge fan of Jordan Howard, and you thought it was a mistake that the Bears traded Howard to the Philadelphia Eagles for a measly fifth-round draft pick.
Right.
So this is a game that you just know Jordan Howard is going to be fired up like he's never been in any game in his career. How concerned are you, if you're the Chicago Bears coaching staff, in particular Chuck Pagano, how concerned are you about stopping the Eagles' run game, which over the last few weeks has really taken off?
Well, they're going to be like the Bears were last year, Thunder and Lightning. Darren Sproles is back. I think, is he still, somebody said he was back. I think he's still an Eagle, is he not? Can you check that out for me?
I will indeed.
Yeah, because Darren Sproles is coming back. So what you got, what they're going to be facing is what Bear opponents faced last year, okay?
Yes.
With our guy Tariq Cohen and with Jordan Howard. This year it's going to be Jordan Howard, and I believe Darren Sproles is on the Eagles, right?
Yes, he is back, and he was at practice today, so that's a good sign. And then Miles Sanders.
Don't tell me I don't do my homework. I just don't remember. damn guy was on. I said, wait, is he still with New Orleans? No, he played for the Eagles last year. So what they're going to face is fakes to Jordan Howard, pitch outs to Sproles, swing passes. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, can I tell you something? If Jordan Howard doesn't have a good game and we win, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'd prefer he be on our team. He was the only guy let go from a 12-4 team on offense.
Right.
What did he do wrong except toted the ball 250 times and fumbled once? Boy, would he have been good out of the eye last week? In the red zone situations, what I told Eldo last year and what I told him during the offseason is Jordan Howard wasn't fancy, but how many first downs have we gotten without him that we got last year? How many drives have we had this year that we had last year? Everything's been off this year because we're missing that guy who moved the chains. When it was 3rd and 8, he'd get to 3. When it was 3rd and 6, he'd get to 7. When they needed a four yards, he'd catch a swing pass. He always moved the chains. He wasn't fancy. He wasn't Peyton. He wasn't Sayers. He wasn't OJ. He wasn't any of these guys. He was an in-between tackle that wore out the other team. So hopefully Montgomery will be able to do the same thing because he had a great game last week. I know you believe in this guy, and I like him too. I just thought he was an unnecessary pickup. And as we're seeing now, we could have used his draft pick, and we got him now, which is fine with me. If he runs for 100 yards, I'll be thrilled. But, boy, don't we need other things? We needed a running back because we got rid of the guy we had.
Right. No, you make a solid point. There's you know, good reason to argue that you keep Jordan Howard and you don't draft the running back in the last draft and you pick up another need player,
for instance,
tight end, an offensive lineman, and all those other needs he got.
Well, Jordan Howard's only 2 years older than Montgomery.
Yes, so that's another thing.
So what are you doing? You didn't get rid of a 30-year-old. Yeah. You have a 24-year-old. 3 year back will be behind Gurley and behind Zeke.
Right.
In the last 3 years, he's the most productive back in football, and we let him walk and nobody cared.
Right, exactly.
Ridiculous.
And as Zach points out in the chat room, you're barely using Mike Davis, who was the very first free agent you signed in the offseason as a running back. And he played really well at Seattle last season, and he's hardly seen the field. And you're running Tariq Cohen up the middle on plays, and Tariq Cohen's rushing stats are abysmal. So there's just Matt Nagy and the run game, he just doesn't get it. And now here's another huge challenge for the Chicago Bears. The Philadelphia Eagles against the run, they are really good. I mean, their pass defense is where they are the most weak. And so schematically, you would say, well, Matt Nagy probably has to throw the ball 30, 40 times and not run as often. And so it couldn't come at a worse time that the Bears are facing a really good run defense and a defense that against the pass is not good. Mitch Trubisky has got to come up big this time because I just have a gut feeling that that Matt Nagy is going to call a lot more pass plays than run plays on Sunday.
I don't know who's telling them we got this, coach. Maybe they do, but the bottom line is Nagy's the guy. See, to me, if you're going to judge the season so far on who's been worse,
mm-hmm.
Trubisky or Nagy? Nagy wins by a landslide. Yep. Trubisky came back last week, almost won us the game, but the guy makes the kick. We're saying, look what Mitch did.
Right.
Despite some of the play calling, and by the way, the defense is sporadic at times, and our special teams are horrible. So a lot of things are being hidden. We had two blocked punts last week.
Yeah.
So, and we've lost three in a row. This is a team breakdown. It's not just on Mitch. It's not just on Eddie Jackson. It's not just on O'Donnell, the punter, but it's on the head coach and the coaching staff.
There's definitely problems from A to Z on this football team. And it gets solved first and foremost with good, solid coaching, going to the mechanics and techniques and so forth. And before we get off the topic, we have to talk about the Eddie Pinheiro situation, where Eddie Pinheiro says he was not asked where he wanted the ball spotted for that potential game-winning kick. Do you think that Matt Nagy, who was asked about that at the press conference, he was told, hey, Eddie Pinheiro said this and so forth, and he basically said, we're moving on. That already happened. So he didn't really want to talk about it.
No, because he blew it.
Exactly.
You know what? Here's a man that don't want to take accountability, but yet last year, whenever there was a special, he was a genius. You know what? I have dropped a ton of respect for Nagy after this week, after his lack of accountability. The way that he's acting. He's acting like a high school football coach. So, you know what? Basically, it's his party. Bottom line is that they got to try to turn it around. I've seen no reason why they should have won. They should have won the previous two games. They should have won the game the other day. But they got beat up bad in Oakland. They got beat up the game after that. So, you know what? They got to turn it around. But you know what? If they keep on losing, it's only going to get worse. And he's proven that he can't stand up to the scrutiny of the press.
Yep. The Bears are getting 5 points on the road against the Eagles. And let me see what the over-under is. I had it up here.
I think it's 43. I'm not sure. Let me get it here because that's what we do here at the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. By the way, folks, remember this. At Vegas Scores and Odds, you know what? It's changed my whole life. There's packages. Now, somebody says to me, my packages are high. Well, you could buy individual games, $25, $50, whatever. If you're a $1,000 better or $100 better, the packages are high for me, but they're not high for some of the other handicappers.
Right.
Bottom line is, you can buy my individual games. I got a $50 game up today, a $25 game up today. And if you win with me like that, then maybe you could graduate to something else. But, you know, those high packages are for high rollers, and I have a lot of good clientele right now.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I've got the over-under at 42, and the money line, Chicago plus 199.
So- I like plus 199. That means if you put 100 down and the Bears win – you win 190. You double your money.
Yeah, that's not
bad. To me, that's scary. To me, that's scary. To me, before I even chart the game, okay, and I don't have the Bears game up for this one. I'll have it on Vegas Scores and Odds or on the Odds Couple because it's only Wednesday. The NFL information doesn't fully come out. I got three college games here on the barroom. But, hey, I could pick anything, hockey, college. I go 3-0 last week with a hockey game, basketball game, and a college football game. How many handicappers you know go 3-0 with three different sports? Only here on Bears Barroom, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
And the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. But I got to be honest with you, Aldo. I just think that this might end up being a stay-away game. You don't know what the Bears are going to do. Mm. Last year, they covered almost every week. This year, they're killing the better. They are killing the better. I guarantee you, there's Chicago bettors that bet with their heart that are asking the wife for money right now as we speak. Or they're giving back what they won last year. But I'll tell you an old story. I was booking some bets back in the day. I knew
you were going to share the story. This is great. Listen to this, everybody. Go ahead.
So I used to do well. I used to book out of the stand. I had parlay cars, the whole ball of wax. And so I had like three different incomes coming in besides the hot dog stand and stuff like that. And there was a week where a guy beat me. A guy beat me for like 2,200. Okay. 2,200. Boom, boom, boom. He orders a hot dog. I put the money in the bag. It's going to be in the movie, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And the book, and, right?
Yeah. It's going to be in the book with Aldo Gandia writing the autobiography, which, by the way, we haven't done for a while, but we've had other things going on.
Been a little busy, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things going on, personal reasons with Aldo and me with all the other platforms I got. We're going to get back on that, but the movie isn't only in this, almost with the second act now, and so is the autobiography. I think we're on S or something.
Yeah, going to T.
So we'll be done in shortly. But I used to put the parlay cards in there and put in their hot dog. That's how and then when they'd come in, they'd have the money. They'd give it to me. If they owed me, I'd owe them. Mm-hmm. And he won like, I think, 2,200 or something. Mm-hmm. And then the next week he loses 15. I'm looking for the guy. I go, where are you? I'm going, where the hell are you? He goes, I don't got it. I just gave you 2,200. But people get that money.
Yep.
They think they're going to keep winning. They spend it. So you know what? My betting advice for people today, if you get off to a good start, treat it like a business. Hold on to that money.
Right.
That money is yours, though. And when you lose, don't say after you've won the week before, oh, it's not my money. It's theirs anyway. Bullshit. Excuse the language.
Mm-hmm.
Once that money goes in your pocket, that's your money.
Right.
Okay? You want it from them. So don't go giving me the, oh, guess what? I won it from them last week, so I'm just giving back their money. No, that money went into your pocket, son. That's the bottom line.
Excellent. Well put. All right. It is time to make some more money.
Yeah! God. I love it.
Yeah, baby.
Oh. My guy, Aldo Gandia. We're getting ready to roll. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just go out here and just say this. We are 14-10. We get it done. Now, by the way, you can listen on the podcast. You can listen on Twitter at Aldo Gandia, at Bears Barroom, at North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number 2, N-O-R-T-H. So, guys that say, you know, your picks are too expensive, I give away three or four free picks on the Odds Couple, and I give four free picks on this show, or three free picks on this show. That's seven free picks, so don't go crying. You can get my picks for nothing, okay?
Exactly.
Now, here we go.
All right.
I don't know what I just said, but whatever I said made sense.
Well, let me remind everybody that every Wednesday here at Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North, Mike does give out three free picks. And last week he was 3-0. So this is a money-making venture. All you got to do is listen and tell your friends about it. Like Mike has said, why should I be the only one making all the money? No.
I want Eldo to make money. I want everybody to make money. If there's a nun listening, if Lori Lightfoot is listening, listen to this. Listen to this. I meet my buddy, Johnny O'Malley. I won't say what restaurant I go to for breakfast this morning in the city. Okay? I walk into the place. There's 50 teachers in there with red T-shirts on eating breakfast. Get your ass on the picket line. What the hell are you doing? Boy, strikes ain't what they used to be. Hey, it's really tough. Yeah, it is. Yeah, let's go have breakfast. You know what? I'm telling you. Life is topsy-turvy right now. Yes. That's all I'm going to say. Well, and then I have to wait for them.
That's right. And the temperatures are dropping in Chicago, so all that picketing is going to come to an end pretty soon.
Oh, my God. My God. Every November 4th was election day for me when I worked the polls. It was always like 10 degrees and raining sideways, you know? Yeah. All right, here we go.
All right.
West Virginia. Eldo's gone. I asked you to give me picks like 13, 14 minutes ago. What the hell's going on?
I'm running out of music.
I love the music. I want to, next time Custer should use this music. He might survive. Anyway. Yeah, you know what? Not always good. Not always good.
Exactly.
All right. The first game, ladies and gentlemen, this is a beautiful game. It's tomorrow night. It's West Virginia versus Baylor. And you know what? The over-under is 55.5. Before I even looked, I said, West Virginia-Baylor. Man, the score is going to probably be 45-40. I look down, it's 55.5.
Wow.
I go, what's that? Northwestern playing? What the hell's going on? This is like almost like 1980, 1990. This isn't the Big 12. I mean, we're talking Big 12 where the over-unders are 65 or 70. Take the under in the Baylor game, ladies and gentlemen, to start things off with, okay?
Nice.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
You're up early. If you went last week with me, you won the game Thursday. You won a game Friday. I don't know what I got to do, okay? Then we got Saturday. Now, Saturday, there's a team named Syracuse. Now, Syracuse last year was so damn good. This year, they're sort of like the Bears.
Yeah.
They're so damn bad. Yep. Last year, they won eight, nine games.
Right.
They're 3-5. Right. Dino Babers is having a Matt Nagy type year. They're -3.5. They're playing 4-4 Boston College. Syracuse comes back in this game, and they go 4-5 as they cover the 3.5. Okay?
Oh, cool. Ryan Badgley, co-host of Draft on Tap, who goes to all of the Syracuse games. He's a big fan. He's going to love to hear that, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not had that good a time.
No, you know? He hasn't.
I'm sure Ryan's not happy because they were supposed to come back and do it again. And sometimes what happens is, maybe what the Bears do, you have that 1 year, and then it never comes back again.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, Mike, you know what he told me, which it was just incredulous. He told me that the Carrier Dome, where Syracuse plays their games, it's indoors. He said there's no air conditioning in there. Can you imagine being named the Carrier Dome and you don't have air conditioning in your stadium? That just doesn't make any sense.
I thought the Milwaukee Brewers don't have air conditioning in theirs either. So when they shut the roof in the summer, it's worse.
Yeah.
Now, Syracuse, maybe they open a window in that dome because in October it's 10 below zero
and there's
10 feet of snow. But that being said, I am surprised. But that's a big-ass place. It was built like 20-some years ago, even 33,000. I think it holds a ton of people. I don't know what it holds. And they're just outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay, UNC versus Virginia. UNC's -2.5. That's Mac Brown. They're 4-4. Virginia coming in with steam. 5-3. Take UNC Saturday, -2.5. So I have the under in the Baylor game Thursday. I have Syracuse -3.5, and I got another favorite, North Carolina -2. Eldo, back to you.
Great stuff, Mike, and it's all free right here on Vegas Scores and Odds every Wednesday. And then join us also on Mondays here at Vegas Scores and Odds. Mike and I go over most, if not all, of the NFL games and then get in-depth conversation on the Chicago Bears' performance. Hopefully we'll have some good news on next Monday's show. All right, I want to now move our attention to an incident that happened at Cleveland today on Wednesday with Baker Mayfield. Now, let me set the stage here. Let me call this up.
Okay.
On Sunday's game against the New England Patriots, Mayfield, towards the end of the first half, there was
a bad pass.
Yeah. Mayfield was cited a penalty for derailing a drive at the end of the first half. The drive ended on a short third and long pass as time expired. And so reporters were grilling him about that. And he was a little bit testy about this. Now, the audio is a little difficult to hear, but I think I'll talk you through it if you can't quite make it out. Here it goes.
The clock's not running.
No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple.
Were you happy with that drive?
Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
What was that?
So the reporter, Baker is right. That was kind of a stupid question because they didn't score any points on the drive. And the reporter says, were you happy with the drive? And Mayfield responds, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard. And he storms out of the press conference in the locker room area. So my question to you, these Browns are 2-5. Everybody was saying that we're going to be a Super Bowl contender this season. Is Baker Mayfield imploding, or is this perhaps a way of him showing his leadership skills and saying, I am just never going to be satisfied with mediocrity or losing, and I'm going to go out there and fight, and if you don't like it, tough, which is what basically he said in a follow-up tweet minutes later. What do you think?
Well, if we don't like it, tough, but that's fine. You're not doing what you said. You're having a sophomore jinx type of year. You haven't looked good. You're going to get testy. You got commercials, you know, you're doing all sorts of commercials for the NFL, for car companies. You're getting so much given to you when you've delivered so little so far. To me, I've said it, and I'll stick to my guns. I don't care what kind of game Mitch had. Mitch didn't have that bad a game last week, folks. If you really look at the stats, it's when he decides to turn into bad Mitch. But I'm going to tell you this. I wouldn't trade Mitch for Baker Mayfield right now. I wouldn't touch him. Baker Mayfield's a smallish quarterback,
yep.
And he doesn't have, I don't think, the overall talent around him, but they were picked to win. They talk a good game, and he talked a good game. Cocky, arrogant. But when you're up against the wall, the bully turns into the weakling, and it's a little bit of a weak move. He could just say, it's a stupid question, next question. Walking out shows you're immature. You got a lot of growing up to do, and that's not leadership, I believe. I don't know, McMahon. He never, you know, when McMahon did press conferences, he never walked out.
Right.
He just was very nondescript and very surly towards him. Mm-hmm. But he never walked out. The same with, Ditka. He made the press walk out. Baker Mayfield, to be a leader, you stay there, you take the heat. That's what you're supposed to do. Because you're sure as hell all these guys, and this is what's wrong. When they win, they take all the accolades. They'll stay up there for 2 hours, okay?
Yep.
So it's a joke, and it's on him.
I couldn't agree with you more. Who was it in the chat room that said, NB Dub said that he should have just stared at the guy that asked him the question and then moved on to the next question.
I got thrown out of three. Listen, I went into seven press conferences, and I was thrown out of three of them, okay? I got thrown out of a locker room with Albert Bell, got thrown out of the Cub locker room with Billy Williams. I almost came to blows with players. I mean, Pat Riley had me thrown out of the Miami Arena.
That's
so,
right.
You know what?
Classic stuff.
When you ask questions, you ask questions they're not expecting.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah, especially, you know, would you shave your head because you can't beat Jordan any other way. You know, you're going to get thrown out. I understand getting thrown out for that. But I'm the guy that caused coaches to cry, not the other way around.
There you go. Great stuff. Yes, Mike North did ask Pat Riley.
Ozzie called me on the phone during a show.
That's right.
And then I went there afterwards and we almost had an issue. But that's just the way it goes. Nobody's ever asked or had the stones that I got. I'm telling the truth. To face Albert Bell in his prime, folks, go nose to nose with him.
Oh, my gosh.
It's no fun. And you know what? That's when I stopped going to the locker room. You got a problem with me? Asswipe, come to the studio.
There you go.
Because you know what? Reinsdorf and all the Sox would end up, the Sox brass, you know, the same guys have been there for 40 years. They couldn't take, they can't even take a solid dump anymore. Let me tell you something. They tell these guys to be waiting for certain guys, and it was always that way.
Albert Bell was one intimidating son of a gun, wasn't he?
Have you seen him lately?
No.
Oh, man, he's about 350.
Really?
Got white hair. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Look up Albert Bell while I'm answering a question.
Okay.
Look him up.
I will do
that. You know what? If he was like, if I would have gone down to the locker room when he's that big and he looked at me surly, I would have said, would you like to go to breakfast?
That's right. Oh, my God.
Because apparently you've only had 4 meals today.
Oh.
I would have called him Sir Tons-a-Lot, okay?
God. I am looking at a picture of Albert Bell, and the title on the story is Albert Bell's Downward Spiral Continues with Arrest in Arizona. This was last year. Oh,
it
my gosh.
It started with me in the locker room. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what he was mad about?
Yeah. No.
You know what he was mad at me about?
No, what was it?
Remember he had the domestic abuse situation?
Oh, yeah.
With the woman in Ossip?
Right.
I said, what's he doing? What's he doing with a river rat? What's he doing down there? He threw a phone at her. And you know what the Sox do? Mike Dorf's coming down. He's the guy that said it. Instead of trying to address the situation about domestic abuse, he wants him to kick my ass. But it didn't happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I stood up to him.
Oh, my. And everybody in the chat room is talking about the Pat Riley thing. You got to tell that story real quick.
All right. I got the cut somewhere. But anyway, what happened is that the Bulls just kicked the living hell out of Miami. Mm-hmm. They beat the crap out of them. I was there a whole week with all the guys, Bill Weddington and all my buddies and Johnny Red Kerr, Steve Kerr. Prayers for Steve Kerr. Hold on. Prayers. You got to actually coach now. You're exposed. Boy, are you exposed. Woo.
It's a lot harder to coach when your star players are gone, right?
Yeah. Your star players are gone. You're a seventh grade grammar school coach, son. Okay? So, anyway, I hope. Yeah. Forget about China. You may end up living there if you keep it up. I will say this. I'm on my game today, aren't I?
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for the laugh. I really need it.
So then I talked to my callers because I always used to love to bring the listeners in because the listeners are the people that make me.
Sure.
The listeners are the people that are on. They made the score. I could give a rat's ass about anything else.
Right.
I said, what question should I ask Pat Riley?
Mm-hmm.
And some guy calls, and he goes, I would ask him this. If Fred Flintstone knows that if he orders the brontosaurus ribs, it's going to tip his car over at the drive-thru, why does he order every day? And I said, okay, here are the top 5 votes. We're going to take a vote. Guess what won? That did. Because the people don't talk about the score. The people talk about Danny Mac. Mike North,
right.
Terry Bors, Tommy Scher,
right.
Dan Chigich, Jesse Rogers, the greats, Judd Surratt,
right.
You know, everybody. They talk about that. Mike Murphy, Fred Huebner.
Right.
They talk about the guys. The callers were as crazy as us. Patio Steve, Cleveland Mike, Gridiron Assassin, who's still around. You know, so they. I go to Miami with the team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the game. I'm with Bob Verde. You know, all the at press row.
The great Bob Verde, yeah.
The great Bob Verde. And Verde was one of the few guys that got me. The rest wanted me dead because they were jealous, envious. I made all the money, and they're, you know, talking about the rest of the written press because the electronic press was the future. The score was burying the newspapers and burying everything else. And this was no different. What should have been Bulls, I mean, Miami loses to Jordan. The Bulls turned into, you know, Miami loses the Bulls, but North ejected.
exactly.
What happened was they have a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Brian McIntyre, who was the public relations man then for NBA, for the NBA, and Brian is still around. Guess where he went to school, folks? Queen of All Saints Parish. That big church right in Sauganash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, on Peterson with all that right by Cicero.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, he goes, "You're next, Mike." I go, "Gulp." I go, "I can't ask him that question. I can't." So I make up the other one in my head. Because I believe if I asked him the Fred Flintstone question, he would have come down after me. So I go, "All right, coach, like they ask you, look, you're not beating Michael Jordan this way. If God came down tomorrow and said, if you shave your head, you will beat Michael Jordan and finally win a championship against him, would you do it?" And he goes, "That's interesting. That's interesting.
I can see
what's
it.
What's your name?" That's when I got it.
Yeah.
"And where are you from?" And that was the whole thing. I go, "I'm Mike North from WSCR Chicago."
Mm-hmm.
"Interesting." He goes, "Interesting question." I go, "Yeah, because you're not going to really." He goes, "I heard the question." He goes, "Next." And all of a sudden, three people grabbed me and threw me out of the arena. Marched me out in front of press row.
Hey,
and,
classic
and
moment.
And Riley, to this day, remembers that.
Oh, yes. All Chicago.
And I'll be honest with you, I took it off from Stuttering John. I
oh,
did.
Oh, okay. That's
what
right.
What happened was I used to watch the E! Show. I'm not a big Howard Stern guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, that's another chapter in the book.
Yeah. I used to be. He's become a band singer or whatever he's doing now. You know? He's become the male Oprah. You know what I mean? You know?
He does good interviews.
Seriously. He's mainstream now. He used to wish cancer on people. Now he's up there judging band contests. So anyway. I'm watching one day, and he had this segment, and I think everybody remembers it. He had that guy Stuttering John.
Right.
I loved him.
Yes.
He'd go up to somebody like Julie Andrews, a graceful woman.
That's right.
You know, at a premiere, and he'd go, Miss Andrews, did you and James Garner ever get it on? You know? I go, "Why doesn't somebody do that for sports?" I go, "That would be so funny." 2 weeks later, they tell me we're going to Miami. Guess who thinks to do it? Me.
You.
I almost got killed. I felt
classic.
Like Fredo at the celebration in Cuba. Look out. I knew it was you.
That is hilarious. I'll never forget.
We didn't do that chapter yet, did we?
No, we haven't done that
no,
one yet.
No. We didn't do the R's. Reading, writing, and Riley.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So hope the guys everybody loves that story. They love it.
It's a classic.
They can't get enough of it, man. People ask me all the time, and I never get tired of it because it took. Can I just say this? You had to be there. Dennis Rodman walks up to me, okay, afterwards, because the Bulls are coming out and they're throwing me out. You know what Dennis Rodman told me? My badge of honor. "Hey, North, you're fucking crazy." Dennis Rodman told me this. I'm looking up at him. His hair's like a rainbow. He's wearing a chiffon gown. He's telling me I'm out of my mind. Jordan thought it was nuts. But you know what they did? They loved it.
That is awesome.
I found out later the whole locker room, because they had a TV in there.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the whole locker room. Pippen, everybody. They loved it.
That is great. I'm actually writing that down because that's got to be in the book.
Yeah, we did a chapter.
That is awesome.
Yep.
All right. America's Team reminds us that Stuttering John asked Tommy Lasorda if he gave Weight Watchers their money back for the endorsement.
I'm telling you. I love that guy. But then I heard he wasn't a stutterer. The little rat. Wasn't he a sidekick on a nighttime show?
Yeah, he was the announcer for Jay Leno's Tonight Show for the first.
How you do that, you stuttering, mumbling prick?
Exactly.
I didn't go, but I loved his ass. I don't give a damn. I love Stuttering John. Look. I could watch Howard Stern for 2 minutes. I could watch Stuttering John for half an hour.
That's great stuff. And I know that you can watch Bill Belichick coach football games forever. Although, I have to ask you this before I play this soundbite of Bill Belichick talking about the upcoming game against the Baltimore Ravens. You've never interviewed Belichick, correct?
No.
Now.
I might have. I might have when he was a clean. I don't think I ever did. I would have remembered, but if I did, it was real early and he hadn't reached prominence yet.
Might
have been a defensive coordinator with Parcells by then.
Yeah.
He might have been with the Browns.
Right.
I don't remember. I would have remembered. Maybe I wouldn't remember Belichick because he was starting out in 92. He wasn't there yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, correct. So, he's got to be the worst interview in all of sports. And I tried to listen to his press conferences to find something interesting to play in the show. I found something that might work.
They're scared to death of the guy.
Oh, my gosh. Are they ever?
They're terrified. You know what I would say to him? You know what? I got an idea. Let's have a paragraph contest. Let's see if you could do a paragraph. And I'd get thrown out.
Exactly.
Reporters, beat reporters have to keep their jobs. Radio reporters, guys like that, half of them are good and the other half are wusses.
Yes.
So that's just the way it is.
Wow, that would be a pay-per-view event to have you interview Bill Belichick, because I know either he would walk out or B, you would get him to open up much that it would be priceless.
He would open up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know definitely. Why he would open up?
Why?
I'll tell you a perfect example. They tell me I'm in Bolingbrook, and it's a golf outing for the Tom Dreesen. A celebrity golf outing. And I brought my show there. Tommy says, bring your show there. He goes, I'll get you Smokey Robinson. I go, if you get me Smokey Robinson,
yeah, great.
I'll bring it, okay? I bring the show out there on a Friday. Have Ditka on. Here comes Smokey Robinson, my hero, one of my heroes. When I was going through hell as a kid, you know, when things weren't going well for me in school, I'd play Motown. That was it. I'd play a little Stones, but it was Motown, the four top. Here he is sitting there, Smokey Robinson. It was all I could do. I mean, it was probably my most fawning interview of all time, because what do you say bad to Smokey Robinson?
Yeah,
there was nothing bad to say. He helped Berry Gordy build an institution. The point I'm trying to get to is they said Mike Schmidt's coming up next. I go, oh Jesus.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I love Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt, to me, still the best third baseman who ever played the game. Mm-hmm. 500 home runs. Played gold gloves. Was booed in Philly because they're idiots. Won a World Series. Here comes Mike Schmidt. Another guy I like. We start talking back and forth. I go, what kind of childhood did you have? He goes, not a good one. My father was pretty rough. And from then on, I go, yeah, I had some issues too growing up. And from then on, for 25 minutes, we talked nonstop. It was the best interview I think I've ever done. Of course, I can't find it anywhere. It's something I would love.
Yeah.
Because Mike Schmidt, and the press wasn't going to pick it up back then because there was no Twitter. There was no social media. See, that's what I miss.
Mm-hmm.
Social media. Because then the score back in the day could have tweeted out that interview.
Yeah.
And then you'd have it forever. And it was a great interview, one of my best ever, and I've done some bad ones, so I'm not bragging, but Steve Stone even said I'm the best interviewer of sports personalities he's ever heard. This was my diamond, this Mike Schmidt thing. So I think I could turn Belichick into having a good time.
Well,
were you going through when you were at Cleveland? Did you lose hope? You're the son of a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to be a coach from the time you were 9 years old? I mean, interviewing's an art, and I don't think 70% of the people that interview work at it.
Yep. Well, and you've had some great guests on our show, The Advantage, on Mondays during the football offseason, and I want to collect a bunch of those interviews and just put them out there, because you've interviewed Jimbo Covert, you've interviewed Hawk Harrelson, and the list goes on. I mean, this for Bears Barroom, and those interviews are just priceless. I want to make sure that they're preserved forever for people.
Well, they
help
make the Barroom what the Barroom is, one of the,
for sure.
the number one destination, not only for the Chicago Bears, but you know what? We're not a podcast that has 200,000 people, 300,000. We have a shoestring budget, ladies and gentlemen. We have very good sponsors in Vegas Scores and Odds. We've had Vrdoliak, who I hope to get again. We've had other people, but we're a growing entity. How long has this site been going up? As it is now, 2-3 years.
Right.
Let me tell you something, folks. We're an acquired taste. You know, have you ever seen Carmen with the scotch? You
yes,
know?
Yes.
We're that high-end scotch. If there you want you Bears Talk, this is where you go. This is where you go for Bears Talk. You will get over terrestrial radio, folks. Please, get me a vomit bucket. You get the truth here.
I love it. Well said, Mr. Mike North. All right. Bill Belichick on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's a major problem, and everybody's had trouble with him. You know, it'd be a big challenge for us. Yeah, he can do it all. Can run, he can throw. Can throw on the run, can extend plays. It's tough.
I love him.
It's just nothing you can do with that. That was his most animated soundbite.
You're a head coach. You're almost 68 years old now. You still got some moves on the sideline. You really wear the headset well. He's pretty good. I mean, he's telling the truth about Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
They asked him a question. He answers it. He doesn't go into all the garbage.
Right.
And you know what? They expected of him. But he answers the question. And he never dogs another player.
Yeah.
Never. He never dogs an opposing player. He dogs him on Sunday. And that's what he's going to probably end up doing. Lamar Jackson's going to see stuff he's never seen before.
Yeah.
You know what happened?
That is for sure.
Here's what I love about Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick lost his defensive coordinator. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said? Was it Patricia? Yeah. Right?
Correct.
Matt Patricia.
Correct.
Lost him. You know what he said? Guess what? I'm going to be the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. How's that working?
Pretty damn good. No.
Pretty damn good.
They have allowed the fewest points of any team in the NFL. Pretty
damn good.
You know
who I want as my next head coach of the Bears, which could become sooner than later?
Yeah.
You know who I want? Josh McDaniel.
Oh. Wow.
I want Josh McDaniel. He's the guy that calls those plays. He's the guy that writes up those plays.
That's right.
He's the guy that does the show. That guy and Tom Brady are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. But he's got Tom Brady. Bottom line is he's been there a ton of years.
Right.
And nobody ever talks about him. There's Josh McDaniel. There's Josh McDaniel. And he's had a couple interviews. But, man, the problem is they can't interview the guy until after the Super Bowl usually, because when you're an assistant coach, I guess you can go – you know, and leave the team. But he don't leave the team, I guess. He may go for an interview or two. But that's the guy I would want as the Bears' next head coach. Because look at what Patricia's doing now.
Yeah.
You know? Look at what he's doing at Detroit. Maybe these New England coaches are starting to turn it around. Vrabel's doing okay, even though Mariota stuck it to him by not being the quarterback he is. So I think I'd go after Josh McDaniel if Nagy was to leave.
Well, a lot of people are calling for Nagy's head, so we might see something like that.
How would the Bears bar room like Josh McDaniel? I'd be curious to if they would just answer that question. We don't know that much about him. All I know, he's been there, and their offense, I mean, they struggle at times. But remember, they win with different players every year. You know,
right.
You hear people say, well, it's going to take Allen Robinson about a year or two to get acclimated, or it's going to take this 8-3. And they get a guy from a dumpster, and he's running pass patterns 3 weeks later scoring touchdowns.
For touchdowns, right.
Right? They get new guys. That's why he's better than Lombardi, because Lombardi had the same team every year. This guy's the greatest coach who ever lived. And Rob Parker. You know who Rob Parker is? Rob Parker works for Fox.
Yes, I know Rob. Yeah.
Yeah, he blocked me. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I said you don't know nothing about football. All right. Do you know that he called Bill Belichick the other day on Twitter the biggest cheater? He works with the other guy that used to do basketball, Broussard.
Okay.
They have nothing against him,
mm-hmm.
but he blocked me. And, you know, he can dish it out, but he can't take it. And the other day, he called Bill Belichick the biggest cheater in sports history.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. I lived through the steroids era, and so did he. Okay?
Yeah.
But did this doofus ever hear of Lance Armstrong?
Yes, exactly.
How do you call a 6-time Super Bowl coach, even if in your mind he cheated once?
Mm-hmm.
Even if your mind he cheated twice? He didn't cheat the other 4 times. I mean, how do you do that? And how do you say something so irresponsible and ignorant as that? Because you're a hater.
Yeah, it's dumb. There's no doubt about
it. That's all it is. You talk about derangement syndrome. That poor guy's got Belichick derangement syndrome. And he'd freeze, he'd freeze like a popsicle if Belichick was in front of him.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You aren't kidding.
Wow.
He definitely would.
To make a statement like that after the Jose Canseco's, the A-Rod's, the the cheating.
Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, all those.
How about, even if you want to get technical, Pete Rose? Yeah. I mean, my God.
Yeah, how about that?
Lance Armstrong's the biggest cheater in sports history. Mm-hmm. He won like 6 or 7 gold medals.
Yeah.
Okay?
Tour
how
de
about
France's.
Ben Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're calling a Super Bowl, 6-time Super Bowl coach, a cheater? That's an ignorant thing to say.
I have to agree. I have to agree on that. All right, let's talk a little baseball before we pull the plug on this
one. I love baseball.
I know you do. And
except this series.
This has turned out to be one of the more dramatic World Series in recent memory for a home team. Not to win any game through 6 games is unbelievable, Mike. It's truly mind-boggling, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything. I mean, I was 19 of my first 26. I'm one of my last 5 with this World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had an over. You don't hear anybody bragging, any handicappers bragging, hey, look what we're doing in the World Series. Because you would figure the home team would win once. And the system is being fooled. My system, which has been ironclad and is always going to be ironclad, it took me years to perfect, is being fooled. I mean, my God, and Verlander, you know, I pick on Kershaw because he can't get to the series. But Justin Verlander, what is he, 0-6, 0-7 in the World Series?
Yeah,
that's a Hall of Fame pitcher that has never won in the World Series, folks.
That's unbelievable, huh?
That is unbelievable. And you know what? He started out by throwing off-speed pitches last night in the first inning. He got tagged a little bit. Then he went to his fastball. But it looks to me like he's tired. It looks to me like Verlander in May and June was lights out.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't, the ball would be in the catcher's mitt and they'd swing after it was in.
Right.
Now they're just hitting the ball. And when you throw an off speed pitch and you can throw fastballs 96 miles an hour, you're giving in to the batter because they were getting wood on his off speed pitches. That's the bottom line. And then finally, all hell broke loose.
And how about that controversial call at first base? Trey Turner is called for interference. I got to tell you, let me call up. I got a soundbite here from Joe Torre talking about that particular play. Oh, let's not go there. Let's go over here. Just a second.
And you know what? It's not one of these deals. Like, by the way, it didn't even have an impact. It wasn't even going to have an impact on the play.
Right. Exactly. So
usually, you know, if the catcher throws it, mm-hmm. and the runner's inside a little bit.
Right.
Or if the pitcher throws it and the elbow's inside. I mean, you know what? This had no impact. It shouldn't have been called, I don't think. But what do you got?
I agree. This is what Torre said after the game to Fox Sports.
The call was the fact that he interfered with Gurriel trying to catch the ball. You notice the glove came off his hand. That's when Sam Holbrook called him out for basically interference.
Why isn't that play reviewable?
It's a judgment call, that's why.
Mike, he did hit the glove. There's no doubt about it. But his foot hit the middle of the bag. Where is he going to go? He's got to run out of the way of the glove and miss tagging the bag? I just don't get that rule. The rule is stupid.
Bad rule. And here's another thing. The catcher, you know, why is it on the batter?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's a bad throw.
I don't understand that. Joe Torre's full of crap. He's done more to hurt the game since he's been in. You can't take a guy out at second base. You know, the collisions are gone. There's netting all over the field now. You know, pretty soon the players will be wearing netting. And to me, here's what I heard. What do you think of this suggestion? I played in a softball league where there were dual bags at first base. Okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have the bag where the guy stands in, and then there's the bag right behind it in foul territory. The runner has to run for the orange bag.
Oh, interesting.
Which is the second bag, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the first baseman has the other bag. So what you have is dual bags. You have the white bag, and then you'd have the orange bag right to the right of the right behind it, mm-hmm. you know, on the side of it, excuse me, and the runner runs for the orange bag. This way, you're never going to be in the way.
Interesting.
They do that in some leagues,
right?
In lower leagues and stuff like that, and they do that in softball.
Well, I'll tell you what, Major League Baseball better correct that, because that's just an insane rule. And we've seen it over time. We've seen that bad call made other times. Doug Glanville, former Chicago Cub, was talking about it, how he was called out when he went right straight down the line, and he, because of a bad throw by an infielder, he knocked the glove out of the first baseman's hand, and he was called down. It was like, where am I supposed to go? So
right.
Major League Baseball has to correct that.
And I know people would bitch about that bag. And it was Adam Schein's show on Mad Dog Radio. I was listening in my car on the way back.
Uh-huh.
And it was brought up on that show. I think Adam brought it up, to be fair. I don't like to steal stuff from people unless I'm absolutely sure I could get away with it. No, I'm just teasing.
You're like me.
He brought up the dual bag, and here's what Adam said.
Uh-huh.
It would be. They'd bitch and moan for 2 days, and then it would be incorporated. Just like they bitched and moaned about the collision at home plate.
Right.
And at second base, nobody bitches about it anymore except me. I will always bitch about it because you change the game after 100 years because you're lilies. That's what it is.
Interesting. All right, the latest odds for tonight's game that I saw was Houston was favored at minus 138. Which again means you're risking $138 to win $100. And the line opened at minus 141. So it looks like money is going to the Nats. Am I correct when I say that?
Yeah, a little bit is going to the Nats. Sometimes you can manipulate the line to make people think that. I believe the public will be on the road team tonight. That's the trend, six in a row. Now, I don't usually like trends, but this is a trend that you got to like. On top of that, though, it would take incredible nerve to take the home team tonight. I have that game up on Vegas Scores and Odds right now, as well as an NBA. I have the Bulls game up total on Vegas Scores and Odds right now. So to me, I think that, you know what, I can't tell you who I took, but I will tell you this. I'm nervous about the pick. Mm-hmm. I'd go light.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go light because I'm 17 and 13 right now. I was 19 and 8. So, you know, I've given back a little bit. I'm talking about baseball. But you know what? I made the pick. I'm going to stick with it. But nobody's really doing a killing in the World Series. And nobody's watching it either, to be honest with you. The other night, the football game kicked its ass again. So that's just the way it goes.
Interesting. Interesting.
Hey, yeah.
One last point regarding that throw, because Long and Low in the chat room makes a really good point. He says that John Smoltz said that he was taught to throw at the runner because you always get the call. You always get the interference call. So that's more evidence that rule has to change.
I agree. And
John Smoltz
is right. He's been done a pretty good job in the series. I like him.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I've always thought he was a little bit above it all the way he did, but this series he's been on the dot, and he brought up a good point with that. And, you know, you naturally, you don't look at the line when you're running saying, I have to run on this line and to the right of it. You run naturally.
Right.
And when you come out of the box, you naturally start to go left a little bit. Then you try to adjust, and I think it's a bad rule, and it's going to change.
All right.
They'll go to replay.
Go exactly. Screw that judgment call.
The ump screwed two or three calls up the first three innings. I mean, these guys are so freaked out by replay now. I said this to my buddy today. They used to make snap calls and they'd usually be right. Now they make slow calls and they're wrong because they're afraid they're going to be exposed, and they do get exposed.
Great point. Great point. All right. I want to remind people to go to VSAO Sports on Twitter. That's at VSAO Sports on Twitter, and follow us there. And you can also get another free pick if you dial 1-800-808-3419. Mike, you are on fire. You gave away three free picks today. I think.
Can I give them out?
Yes, please do so.
All right. First of all, I'll tell everybody on a Vegas Scores and Odds site, I have the Bulls up and I have Houston up in baseball. When I talk about the Bulls, I'm talking about the total. Okay. And then for the free picks, I have Baylor under, Syracuse, and North Carolina under. The Baylor game is a Thursday night game tomorrow night. Eldo, back to you.
I am going to play us out with a little Smokey Robinson.
Oh,
ooh, baby,
I love
baby. Tell your listeners where they can follow you on Twitter.
All right. Make sure you listen to the podcast. It'll be up about, let's say, about 45 minutes, an hour after the show. Right, Eldo?
You got it.
Commercials.
You got it.
And then You can get us at North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number two, N-O-R-T-H, Aldo Gandia, at Aldo Gandia, at Bears Bar Room, at VSAO, Vegas Scores and Odds is the place you go, at VSAO Sports, at VSAO Sports. Make sure you hit that too, folks. All right, Aldo, it's good to talk to everybody. We got commercials to do. We had a great fun time. I had fun reminiscing, my friend.
Thank
so long,
you.
Everybody.
I'm crying.